when God calls you to quit your job in accounting and go launch a church, and the accounting director is looking at you and saying, think about your kids' college, think about their future, think about what you're doing to them by not being able to save a comfortable living, and you know, you have an easy path in front of you. You'll be on the path to management, you're all set, but you're going to turn it all down for what? And that's when really eternity starts. What matters more in your heart? Does it matter that you're going to trust God with your future, or are you going to trust yourself with your future?
Our goal in this podcast is to know Jesus better, and by the power of His Spirit, do better, so together we can be a little better. Hey guys, welcome to the A Little Better podcast. It's so great to be with you. And today we have a Brighton takeover.
Let's go.
Here with Brighton.
Noah, Kathleen, I'm Luan. I'll be your host today. And guys, what a time. So glad to be here with you guys. It's going to be great. It's the B-Pod is what we're calling it.
The B-Pod.
Come on.
The Brighton Pod.
It's the Brighton Pod. What a time. Yeah. So Noah was preaching and it was a fantastic message. It's a great time. But before we even get to talk about it, I just want to ask a question. How many shoes is too much? How many pairs of shoes is too much?
Oh man. See, in my message I said 7.
Okay.
I have 9 right now pairs of shoes at home,
okay,
and I'm trying to get rid of a couple pairs. I took them to Playsville Closet, and they didn't want them.
They were that bad?
Yeah. Well, when you get them from Goodwill, and then you're trying to take them to Play-Doh's.
Too many times.
That's crazy.
I'm going to try to take them to a different Play-Doh's Closet.
To see if they would take it?
Yeah, but I feel like girls and guys might have a different number. Like maybe for guys, I feel like if you have more than 10, like that's kind of a lot. I don't know, maybe.
I think I'm there then. Yeah. Definitely got more than 10. Yeah, big time.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely like different occasions you got to plan for, right? Especially for girls, right? Like you guys can wear your dress shoes anywhere, but I definitely had to step up my shoe game when I came to Brighton. And my my daughters are all about it. So I'm up there, probably way over 10 there.
But do you have like a favorite pair of shoes that you got?
Yeah, Elise picked me out this pair of J's at Goodwill.
Nice.
And I love them.
Which is crazy. They're crazy. Yeah.
Oh, they're my favorite. They're so comfortable, and I just feel like they can go with everything. And so she's an awesome sister, but super thankful for her.
Let's go. Yeah, man. So I remember when I first got like a pair of Jordans.
Yeah.
And it was wild. Because like, dude, I would treat them like a baby. It was amazing.
Don't crease them.
Like, it was like I would walk funny. Like I was stiff the whole time. Like I wouldn't really like bend down and get stuff. Like
I kept the hips.
It was so weird. Dude. Like I would get to places, like whenever I would go somewhere, it was like raining or something, I would have like 2 pairs of shoes.
Yeah, bring a pair.
So I'd have like an extra that I would like walk to the place with, and I would get there and like take them off and like I'll put the Jordans on. So it's tough, but man, I love those shoes. They're great. But
well been there.
Yeah, can't really afford Jordans anymore. You know? Finish your life, baby. But it's all right. But all right, let's focus. Let's get to this. So Noah, what would you say if you were to tell us your message in 60 seconds? How would you say it?
So today, this week, we talked about greed and contentment and how we can find contentment, and that godliness with contentment is actually great gain. That if you want to be wealthy, it's actually godliness with contentment that it's a secret to wealth. And so often our culture tells us that you need more, more, more. And that if you have 1, 2 is better. Solomon says that 1 handful is actually better than 2 with hard work and chasing the wind. And so we talked a little bit about clearing out, cutting back, and counting your blessings. And how can you clear out things you don't need, simplify your life and your choices to make your life easier to live, cut back on things you don't need that aren't helping you become who you want to be, and then count your blessings. There's a lot of studies that show that gratefulness can actually improve your physical health, your mental health, your emotional health. You live longer. You can be cured from different diseases just by being grateful or holding a grateful kind of journal and writing down 5 things you're grateful for. Cancer patients have had better success. It's crazy what it can do for your mind and your body by being grateful. So
That's so crazy. And it's so interesting, right? Like that concept of understanding that 1 handful is better than 2 handfuls. Like that's just crazy to think of. Like, why do you think that's so hard? Kathleen, I'll ask you that question.
You know what? I think this is kind of an important thing. And I talk about this with my kids. Mm-hmm. So they've got tons of clothes and, you know, Noah, you'll figure it out. Kids need more than just, you know, maybe 1 set of clothes per day. They go through a lot, lots of messes. But a simple illustration for this is I don't have enough room in my dresser drawers to put all this, right? So sometimes when we collect too much, it can actually become a burden for us, right? So I think that that's something that we have to like balance out. Like it's good to declutter. It's good to have just enough and just practice being okay with what is enough for me in my life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with contentment, right? Like we have a hard time being content with what we got. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, you're always being sold to. There's always another best thing or latest, greatest thing that, you know, kind of feels like it might fill that void. And shopping, you know, online, it's so easy. And, you know, just culture tells you, hey, let's get more, let's get more. And, you know, you go to the store and you want to buy another thing that you like and you, your kids might like. And then it kind of adds up. And you don't even think about how much you have at home already.
Right.
And you just kind of think about what you don't have yet. And so when your mind starts to go there and the devil says, oh, this will make you feel, or whatever, you know, or maybe it's just, you know, convenient to have like Amazon order that comes in and does that. But I feel like I often order stuff. It's like, well, I don't have over $35 in my cart and I want that free shipping. So I'm going to buy three more items. And then, you know, they end up not even, I don't use them. They don't work or whatever. And it's like, why did I buy these extra three items? Now I have all these candles or something that like I didn't need. And I feel like that's how it kind of goes is, did I need that? Do I need that subscription? It's like, well, it was kind of helpful for the time being. Right. And then you forget about it. And so I feel like it's just a good practice to cut back and be simple. But my wardrobe grows because of the culture that I live in, I feel. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah. Because I think we always want more, right? I think that's the idea that we have. Like, I want more things. I want more possessions. I want more, like, money even, right? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us, especially in America, believe that the more money that you have, the better things are going to be. Yeah. And I think you even touched on it as you were preaching and stuff. Like, richness can be a disadvantage. Right. Like a lot of times we think like, yeah, if I have more money, we'll have less problems and stuff. And whoever said it, like, more money, more problems, right?
More money, more problems. That's right. That's
right. I think that's true. So why do you guys, like, how do you guys think that being rich could actually be a spiritual disadvantage for you?
I mean, that's like more that you might have to give up. Like, if you don't have a lot, then maybe that 10%, that tithe might be a little bit smaller of a number. But when you scale that up, man, that feels heavy sometimes. Mm-hmm. I think, though, for those of you out there that are rich, I think the thing that is encouraging to that is maybe even the next few verses when it talks about with God, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. Like with man, with us, it's not. Yeah. But I do think that there's that tendency to hold on. Like, I've worked hard for this money. I've accumulated. I've saved. I've budgeted. I've planned. Mm-hmm. But God can do so much with just your heart changing and just the posture of why I'm doing what I'm doing with my money, trusting that God is going to continue to provide a little or not, or a lot too. So I think that it's just that idea that it really comes back to your heart.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do think it's a heart problem for sure. And going back to the rich young ruler, right? I think that's what Jesus is after. Like, of course, the whole idea of him selling all this stuff is important because, like, there was something there. But I think he just wanted to get after this guy's heart. It's like, dude, there's something there that we got to touch. Like, do you have any stories that you felt that tension? Like, God was really pressing on your heart and you thought it was about money, but it was, like, more than that? Like,
totally. Yeah. I feel like every time there's a campaign in Northridge, I'm like, oh, no, Lord, no. Like, you know, and there's something that he wants or he says, and it's been retirement accounts, it's been cars, it's been houses. But that's, I feel like it's a wrestle in my heart. It's a struggle in my heart to say, I don't want to give that up and I'm not there. You know, but I think that when I'm not content with godliness, when my heart seeks you know, things or possessions, that is when he kind of draws a line in the sand and says, all right, Noah, now we're going to find out what you really live for. And you can live for God. Like, you can choose God in all these circumstances. And maybe you don't have a lot at all. Maybe you're living paycheck to paycheck and it feels like you can't do it, but you can. And God actually, this passage exhorts like godliness, contentment,
totally,
and not having a lot. He doesn't say, he just says, all you need is food and clothing to have enough. That's what Paul says. Okay, you have food and you have clothing. That's enough to have like contentment. And to be godly is the goal, not to be rich. And we have way more than food and clothing in America. I mean, it's crazy how rich we are. And we take little things for granted, like a hot shower. I'm like, I that's such a blessing. And it's only existed for like 60, 50, 70 years. I don't know. And I'm like, you know, every morning I wake up, wow, like my shower's not hot enough. Or my AirPods won't connect and I have to use my phone like this. You know, such first world problems. And I'm like, what are we, you know, I'm so blessed. And so when you start to count those blessings rather than compare them, you begin to see God being faithful in ways you never even thought. But it is all about your heart. It's a heart issue, not a money issue. But money tells you where your heart is. Hmm. And so if you have a lot of stuff, or if you have a big bank account, it tells you where your heart is.
Right.
Or if you're spending a lot on something, it means you care about that thing. Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
So I had this experience when I was first a mom, and I had Marlo, my daughter. She was about 2 years old at the time. And I thought back to like how my parents raised me, and it seemed like we had no money. Like we couldn't go out to eat. We couldn't do this. We couldn't do that, as I was comparing myself to my friends. And I never quite, you know, I talked to my dad, but I wouldn't understand exactly why. But then as a mom, I was like, okay, Matt and I, we're doing fine. We got some extra money to spend. Mm-hmm. So every time Marlo and I would go out to the store, I'd be like, sure, you can get that. We've got the money for this. Mm-hmm. And then I saw that every time we went to the store, she expected it. Oh, and I created my own little monster with that. Wow. And so I think that that was a big like telling moment for me to say like, hey, there's more than just the ability to go ahead and spend. But like, how does that impact my little 2-year-old's heart to say like, well, what, you're going to say no now? No, you always say yes. Wow. And I know I deserve this. I'm entitled to this. Mm. But no, I created that monster. So I got to tell you, it was harder to rein that back in than I thought. But, you know, Camille and Cece, they didn't get that going forward. There's a lot more no's going forward.
That is so good.
It just kind of taught me about like what that does to your heart, or like for your, if you have kids, right? Like what are you showing them with the way that you use your money as a parent?
That's so good. Yeah.
Part of it is about telling yourself no, you know, like being able to have discipline and say, no, I don't need this. Mm-hmm. You know, do I want this? Yeah. Mm. But do I need that right now? No, I can hold off. I can wait.
Yeah.
And, you know, your car is driving down towards Starbucks. It's like, oh, it would just be so nice to just have a little coffee this morning. And you know, and that would be awesome. And but Paige and I's rule is we won't go out unless we have a gift card somewhere.
Okay,
and so
one.
We'll have like, hey, we'll have date night if we have a gift card to that place. And if we don't, we don't have the money for it, you know, and we'll cook at home, you know, but it's so easy to just pull right into Starbucks, you know,
drive
in.
It's right
when
there.
You can make coffee at home, and it's like a small sacrifice, but it's just telling yourself no and being a person of discipline to say, no, I'm going to live on my budget. I'm going to live within my means. God's given me this much. I'm going to steward it wisely. I'm going to say no to myself. And that's the hardest part is like Jesus says, deny yourself.
Yeah.
Not like, man, oh, I want to treat myself all day long, you know, like, and it's so easy to fall into that trap of
totally.
And it's kind of like a mindset. It's like, yeah, driving down the road and getting gas that's like 5 cents cheaper isn't maybe going to save you like all the money and make all the difference. But it's a mindset of like, I actually want that cheaper gas. I'm going to use an app to like get a cheaper price, or I'm going to, you know, be frugal because it's a mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting, right? Because like, it's all about changing your mindset on things, but also your behavior, right? Like certain things that you do that allow you to learn how to be content, learn how to be grateful, how to be thankful. And even as you're preaching, you had three specific application points that you walked through. It was cut back, right? Cut back. What was the other one?
Clear out.
Clear out and count your blessings. Mm-hmm. So tell us why those are important and how we can actually practice those in a daily.
Well, the idea of simplicity is all throughout the Bible. And Jesus says, you know, you only need a cloak and your shoes. Take those two things to his disciples and then go, you know, share the gospel to all these towns. And, you know, Paul says we have just need food and clothing to be content. But simplicity actually makes your life easier to live. And it helps you become content because instead of having seven gray sweaters to choose from, you have one. And so when you get to your closet and you get to make those choices for the day, you're actually making your life easier. You're making less choices per day. And there's a lot of studies been done on how many choices you make in a day, and you actually get decision fatigue. And so the big decisions are the ones you want to make early in the day or earlier in the morning, typically, because you can be have a more clear judgment and you're not making emotional decisions. So often at night, you know, that's why you don't ever shop when you're hungry.
You've never done that.
When you're hungry, dude, you're loaded up on sushi. You got some of those little turkey things. You're like the bread aisle. It's like, oh man, you know,
all the stuff.
And you never make good choices. You always make like yours buying sugar and carbs, and you're pushing your cart. You're like, you get to the end, you're like, how did I get this much junk food in my cart? Well, it's because you're starving. And so if you go in with a little discipline, you make the right choice ahead of time, and you're able to see clearly what's in front of you and make the decisions. But if you don't simplify your life, you live a life of like overload. And so if you have two boats and you got to fix one boat, you have this cabin, then you got to fix up the cabin. And so I think our generation actually has kind of moved in this direction of experience-based. And older generations, maybe it was more about the lawn and the home and the boat and
owning
the pool.
Owning the stuff,
yeah. And now we just rent the pool on Swimly rather than like actually owning the pool and cleaning the pool and everything that it takes to keep it up. But it can be a lot, right? How long does it take you to clean your pool?
Oh, it does. It's an everyday thing for right? sure. Yeah.
It's like an extra chore.
Blowing me in having a pool. Come on.
Just separated. Yeah. Both groups right there.
It's just a way that you could spend your time. Another thing to add to your day that maybe you need to do, but maybe you don't need to do. And so I feel like it's simplicity is what these things are getting at, and building a life that is sustainable and that has margin in it. And that you can think about what you go on Netflix, you have a million options. You go on a flight, there's only three options in front of you. Sure. It's like, oh, sure. Now I'm just choose the one that's PG or like, you know what I mean? Right, the one that's not horror. You know, it's like, well, this one's like animated Candyland. And then this one's like horror. And so I'm going to pick the middle one, you know, like looks like Mission Impossible it is, you know, but when you only have three options, it makes it a lot easier. And so just eliminating the decision fatigue that's in your day. And all these advertisers are trying to make you make decisions all day long. Mm-hmm. So,
And I think about even like accumulating things, and maybe like you said, it is more of a generational thing, but I feel like sometimes I feel like what I have can equate to my worth. And that's not good. Like, I think that's a problem where we need to come back to, why am I worthy? It's because I have Jesus, right? Amen. Like, and it's not because I have a great house or a nice car or, you know, and shout out to Drew for telling everyone that old beat up junkers are really bad. Yeah, exactly. No, because my van's going to make it. It's making a lot of noises, but it's going to make it, right?
She like drove past me the other day and her brakes were like locking up. I was like,
did you hear that?
I was like, are you driving your kids home in that van?
We're good. Matt tells me we are good.
I was like, oh no. Special collection.
But it's going to make it. I'm almost at 200,000. I'm rolling. Goal is 250. But just thinking about, like, I go to work at a university and I look at the kids driving up in their BMWs and I'm like, well, I'm the adult here. Like, I should have something like comparable. But thinking about, that's not what makes me worthy. You know, I have the love of Jesus in my life. Yeah. I have contentment because God loves me. And so that's where sometimes it's a real shift in your focus. Yeah. And what is your priority in life? It's not like to build wealth, or if I'm building wealth, it's because I want to be able to be generous with it.
Right.
I teach personal finance every once in a while. And when I'm teaching that, I love to tell my kids that one part of my budget is like having this pocket of money where I don't actually have it like saved for, you know, I've already got my tithe. I've got my savings. I've got all this, but I have this little bit of money in case someone comes up to me and needs something. Right. Mm-hmm. And how much, like, I don't do that because, you know, I want to look good. That feels good to be able to help out. Yeah. And I think that just builds up your propensity to be generous. And then again, like, the other thing is showing our kids that we want to be generous and to encourage them in that too. So I try to include my kids in on those generous givings. Awesome. And that's just a way that you can kind of bring up the next generation being aware of some of those things too.
Yeah. How do you, from a parent's perspective, like, get your kids to be content?
Man, I got to tell you, like, I call my children victims of advertising, right? Yeah. Like, they're always watching commercials, or they see a sign or something. They're like, they know all about the newest things way before I do, right? So I think that's a place where kids are being bombarded with advertising and stuff. So they're starting at a disadvantage for sure. Yeah. I think one of those ways is to model that contentment, you know, Matt and I.
You're not content. Exactly, right?
Like, so I have to really play up that car. My van is, you know, what a great van. Car you got here. I think the other thing is to talk and have conversation. I think one of the things that parents miss out on a lot is having these real hard conversations where it might feel awkward to with your kids, but it's worth it. So I feel like sitting down, having these conversations, this is why mommy and daddy do this. I had a person in my community group say this this last week, which was so just amazing to me. She said, I take my boys shopping for whatever, groceries, clothes, mm-hmm. whatever. And I have a list of things that I want to get. Mm-hmm. And my boys see me put these things in my cart. And every time they see me do it, it's like I'm saying yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Because these are the things we need in our house. Mm-hmm. But they don't know that I've already made a list. I've pre-decided mm-hmm. these things. And then they think I can always say yes to myself. Mm-hmm. But I'm always saying no, no, no to them.
Right.
So sometimes she was talking about how she says out loud, oh, mommy would really love that thing. Right. But it's not for me this time, right? Yeah. Like, I don't need that. I want it. And just kind of modeling that.
It's really good.
So I thought that was great. Shout out to Zapphire on that one. Let's go, Zapphire. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, there was also one of the things I wanted to ask you guys about. I know you kind of touched on it. But just this idea that, like, oftentimes we want to get things, we want to collect money, and we want to, like, hoard all the possessions because it gives us a sense of not just worth, but also, like, we feel comfortable, like, we feel confident that we're good.
Secure.
Secure, right? Yeah. We have that idea that, like, man, if I have $100,000 coming in every year, I'll be okay.
Yep.
Like, I'll be able to take care of my family. I'll be able to take care of this, this, and that. And that kind of reveals, and you touched on it in such a great way, that we don't actually trust God.
Hmm.
We're not trusting God to provide. We're not trusting God to take care of our needs. Why? Like, why do you think that's so hard?
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, our security is so quickly, our trust can so mm-hmm. quickly move to ourselves.
Yeah.
And we become our own God, because if we can control how comfortable we are or how safe we feel or what area we live in, then we think we can control more outcomes. Mm-hmm. And it feels like if I can just get to this neighborhood, if I can just get to this kind of a car, if I can just get to this kind of a lifestyle, then I'll be able to control my environment and the outcomes. And ultimately, we're only responsible for obedience and not the outcome. Mm. And God can make he controls the outcome. You know, no matter how hard you save, no matter how much you do, like, there's nothing you can do. And that car accident comes, and that cancer comes, and that kid comes. It doesn't matter, like, what we have saved or how much security we have. It all depends on trusting God, right?
Right.
And we see through it once you get there and you're at that estate sale and you're looking through somebody, all their most prized possessions. And we were in an estate sale, and this guy was at Kodak. He had all these cameras. He had all this stuff, designer coats and clothes, like, just crazy. And you're just picking through it, and it's like cents, pennies on the dollar for what he paid for it, what they used it for. It doesn't matter anymore. It's all just going to leave. It's just temporary. But we think, oh, if I can control, at least I think, if I can control all these things in my life, then I'll be comfortable. I'll be safe. I'll make a good future for myself. I'll be able to pay for my kids' college. I'll be able to do this. But ultimately, then my trust moves from God into myself. Hmm. And that's where the dangerous part is when God calls you to quit your job in accounting and go launch a church, and the accounting director is looking at you and saying, think about your kids' college. Think about their future. Think about what you're doing to them by not being able to save a comfortable living. And you know, you have an easy path in front of you. You'll be on the path to management. You're all set. But you're going to turn it all down for what? And that's when really eternity starts. What matters more in your heart? Does it matter that you're going to trust God with your future, or are you going to trust yourself with your future? And so quickly I start choosing myself and trust myself for how I'm going to control the outcomes. And it's so such a slippery slope, because it's like, well, I'll just control this or that, little things. And then it starts to be big things, and it starts to be substantial things. And you spend money you don't have, please, people you don't care about or don't know. It's like, man, and you know, it's like contagious. You know, it just continues to grow in your life. It's like, out of control.
Yeah,
yeah. I think too. Like, maybe me and you specifically, because we're like money people. That's what like our background is. I started out like right out of college, like being super miserly and having all this. Like, I'm trusting in my savings account.
Yeah.
And I've seen that like be a thing for sure. But I don't know exactly what happened, but God totally changed my heart. So I actually had to go from being super diligent in my budgeting and things like that to let go a little bit.
Yeah. Be more ridiculously generous.
Exactly.
Hilariously.
Exactly. Right?
Cheerful. Hilariously.
And
generous.
This is a place where it's countercultural again, right? But I like to think that now I let go a little bit more. And so then that's where I can say, I'm shifting my focus from trusting in what I have, my money, my backup, my future plans, right? Mm-hmm. And then thinking about how I can trust God. So for example, there's been times, Matt and I are really pretty decent with our money. We've definitely made a lot of mistakes, but where, like, especially like after Christmas, that's a December's a very expensive time of year, right?
Right, sure.
Especially for families. And then you're thinking about it, you're like, oh man, let's rein it back in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's times where God has like given us opportunity. I'm going to call this opportunity.
Yeah.
It's times where I don't think we have enough money for this or that this month. But those are the times that God has called me to be trusting, to be faithful, and that he's going to provide.
He provides.
Right?
Yeah. Like, it's not empty-handed.
So exactly. And so, and every time he does, and he is faithful, and I just go back to that. And I tell people, like, if you're in a hard time, this might be the time when God's going to use and grow you the most.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would encourage you that if this is new for you, or you're starting out in the hole, or you're just like in a bad month, like we can sometimes be, it's, you know what? Don't forget that that's an opportunity to point you to God and to trust that he's going to get you through. And there's definitely been times where I'm like, all right, God, like, I don't know. Like, the girls love to stop at Starbucks. We're definitely not doing that. But they, like, actually do need to eat. Like, we need to get groceries. And, I mean, let's talk about, like, costs going up.
Right.
My grocery budget has just skyrocketed.
Eggs are $6
Right,
bucks a
exactly.
Dozen.
$6 So we're relying on the Bixby's for our eggs. And we're going to get through, but God's going to provide for us. And so don't diminish the possibility of God using that moment in your life, wherever you are right now, to grow your dependence and your trust in him, because he will provide.
It's so good. Yeah. And I love that. Like, the fact that every circumstance, whether you have a lot of money or you have no money, those are just opportunities for us to trust God. And I love the fact that, like, you talked about it so beautifully. It's just like, man, he cares. Like, God really cares. Like, he always comes through. Might not be the way that we want it to be. Might not, like, be exactly how we planned it out to be. But he cares, and he will provide and find a way. And I love the fact that, like, through all of these things, like, God is just asking us to just trust him. Like, yeah, give because you can trust me. Like, save a little bit because you can trust me. Or just give it all away because you can trust me. And I love that. But guys, I wish we could be talking for like 45 more minutes. Like, I love being with you guys, but we gotta close it out. And but before we do, Noah, this was the last one of the series.
Yep.
Tell us what's next, what we got coming up.
Yep. Closing out Money Matters. And our next series is Eyewitness Account. And it's all about different people's perspectives on Easter. And so as we're leading up to the week of Easter and Holy Week and all that, and Lent and Ash Wednesday and all that good stuff, we're talking about all these different perspectives that people have on Jesus and on Easter and how that felt and looked from their perspective in the story of the resurrection.
Yeah, let's go. It's going to be a great one. I hope you guys tune in and watch all of those. But we'll see you back next week.
Peace.
Take care.